Begin our meeting with a call to order here, and we don't have any citizen comments, so we'll move right into the agenda items. And this is a... I'm sorry?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to make a couple of comments. I'm not here on an agenda. I don't appear on behalf of the client, John.
You'll have to speak up if you want to be heard.
There's no citizens' comments on the agenda.
Tom, we did not list citizen comments here this evening.
No.
Okay.
Did you want to speak on one of the agenda items?
I did, I do. And it's agenda item number three, and I don't want to take it out of order, but I did have a concern that I'd like to address with the committee.
Well, what does the committee want to open this for citizen comments?
This is not a big little project here, so let's hear what they have to say. If somebody's objecting to this, we ought to know.
Are there any objections to citizen comments?
My opinion, anyway.
I can wait until we get to that agenda item?
No, the proper time would be following the call to order.
Okay, and the reason that brings us here, my name's Thomas Santarelli. I'm an attorney here, 1108 56th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I represent John Perrell, who's back here in the red. And what brought us here is that there was a agenda item number three, discussion on next steps regarding the tax deed properties. John had a unique situation where he lives in a property that was then taken on a tax deed with some unusual circumstances. And I don't know how much of the committee wants to hear of John's story, but the bottom line is that we have an interest in some of the potential legislation that the committee is looking to talk about in terms of the tax deed. So John had his home paid off and did not have mail come to his house, and rather it was going to his business, so he hadn't received a tax bill in several years. Had an injury at work and wasn't able to work for a few years. Ended up in a foreclosure, paid out of the foreclosure, and as part of that foreclosure payment, believed that the taxes were also paid in that foreclosure. However, in May of this year, when he found out that the taxes were not paid, he came over to the treasurer's office and he made a payment of $6,000. What he believed to be the payment for the 2015 taxes, which would allow him some time to pay in August, at the end of August. And he actually told the clerk at the counter, "I'll be back at the end of August with the remaining payment on the full tax bill to pay this in full." So again, keep in mind, John doesn't receive any mail. All of the notices must have been returned back to the clerk's office. John shows back up to the clerk's office on August 30th. Clerk says, "Sorry, 4 days earlier on August 26th, we took the property back by tax deed." He didn't know. He had no notice, no awareness of this, and he had the money just as he had represented. As it turned out, he was short about $900 from the payment in May, and as he will testify to, if he would have known that the $900 would have bought him another year, I think is what they said, he certainly would have paid that at that time. But it was because he was under the impression that had he come back at the end of August with the remaining payment, he would have been able to save the house from the tax foreclosure. So the purpose is, I think the legislation allows people like John an opportunity to save his home. This is a home that he's lived in his entire life. It was a family home. He lived in it when he was a child. He's paid it off. There's no mortgage on it. The only amount that's owed is the taxes that are outstanding. And when he came back on August 30th to make that payment, the clerk told him, "You know, don't make the payment. We own it now, so there's no purpose in making the payment." John's in a position where he was then and is now able to make all the payment for the taxes, the interest, the penalties, whatever the amount is to keep his home. And again, he's spent his whole life working to pay off the mortgage. He owns it free and clear. And it's just a situation where there was some miscommunication, and unfortunately, he lost the home to the tax sale. So it's a situation like John's where some legislation that used to be here at the county level allowing a homeowner, you know, some sort of a redemption period where he or she would get the first crack at redeeming his or her home if it was lost through some sort of unforeseen circumstances like John. Any questions? We'll be here when agenda item number three comes up. I can take them now or then.
Probably number three if someone does. Thank you very much. Are there any, since we opened it up for citizen comments, are there any other citizen comments from anyone? Citizen comments? All right, seeing none, we'll close that and move on to item number two, the resolution regarding the transfer of a tax deed of property to the city of Kenosha and approval of some agreements between the city and Bear Development. On your desk is basically a presentation here. And just to explain that, I'm going to call on Patty to open it up for presentation. We'll have some discussion. And if you want to make a decision on that this evening, we can. If not, if you want to adjourn it to our regular meeting, which would be scheduled next week, we'll do that. As of now, we weren't going to have a December meeting, but we're certainly open to that as well. So it's up to you. Patty.
Thank you. Before you have a basic PowerPoint, the information you were provided had lots of pieces, so I thought if I just summarized how all of this came about and what those pieces are, then that might help lead in your discussion this evening. The history of the parcels. In 2017, the county took by tax deed 89 parcels that had been intended for a subdivision. It was supposed to be Brookstone Homes. The original subdivision was platted for 100 parcels and was started, and the infrastructure was in for the first 11 homes. One road was put in and the 11 homes were built. With the economic downturn, the subdivision did not progress, and the developer basically abandoned the project and stopped making his tax payments. This is a GIS picture of the parcels so that you can see where they're located, but the main point of this slide is the items highlighted in yellow are the parcels that are being discussed this evening. You can see that 35th Avenue is gray. That is the road that was put in. 41st Street, 34th Avenue, 33rd Avenue, those are brown because there is no roads. There is no infrastructure in this area. Sewer and water has not been put in. The large outlot is
sewer and water is in for the 11 homes, though.
For the 11 homes, yes.
No.
Well, no, I'm just saying. She said there's no sewer and water. There obviously sewer and water.
For the remainder of the platted subdivision.
Well, these 11 were part of that subdivision.
Yes, yes. The outlot is a large detention pond. Go on, Ken. So since the county took them, they've been evaluating the best use of the parcel. Because the infrastructure wasn't in, they couldn't be sold to individuals. So individuals couldn't buy them and build a house because there's nothing, no sewer and water there for them to hook into. The county is not allowed to sell tax-deeded parcels directly to anyone, so they must be auctioned. If we auction these parcels, they would be auctioned as a group. Developers might bid on them, but unless they have an agreement with the city to put in the needed infrastructure and approval for the project, the lots themselves would have very little value. The assessed value of the parcels in full, all 89 of them, is $408,400. Kenosha Human Development Services is an agency that Kenosha County contracts with to provide a variety of mental health and other services. For 2020, the KIDS contracts total $9,730,000, some of which is funded by grants or other revenue, but some of these are funded by levy. The fee structure varies, but for many of the contracts, the fee is based on cost reimbursement, which includes mortgage interest or lease payments. KIDS has outgrown its current location and has entered into a lease agreement with Bear Development to occupy a section of the former Sun Plaza building on 52nd Street. Occupancy is scheduled to begin mid-2020. KAT Development. So Bear has been working with the city of Kenosha on a development plan for the area south of the former UAW building. Bear can speak to the plans for the development. I will not do that. But a city has an interest in these parcels to move forward with that development and to develop these parcels into single family homes. If the plans come to fruition, the county will transfer these parcels to the city. the city will transfer to Bear Development. The question of why the rush? Bear intends to apply for WIDA credits, and the application must be filed by mid-January. The MOU states that Bear will pay $15,000 per lot. $81,400 of that goes to the city. The remaining $1,238,000 is due to the county. The transfer could have been structured in a couple different ways. We could have set it up so that upon transfer of the parcels to the city would issue a note payable to the county for the potential amount that Bear would pay for the lots. The note would be paid to the county by the city as the lots were sold to buyers by Bear. This option placed the county at risk if the parcels didn't sell, and the city was not in favor of holding a note due to the county.
Thanks.
The second option, since Bear and Kids have a lease agreement, and the county contracts with Kids to provide mental health services, and since the fee structure of the contracts is based on Kids' costs, and since the county has an interest in keeping these costs lower, as it will help future costs from rising at a rapid rate, and since Bear would credit Kids the costs immediately upon receiving the lots for the full amount of the purchase price of the parcels, the option provided a future benefit to the county through a reduction of costs through the Kids' contracts. The option allowed the county to get the benefit of the reduction immediately, and the option removed the risk of any future problems with the development, as the county has no involvement after the lots are transferred in the credit position. In summary, option two is a win-win-win. It offers the best scenario for Kenosha County, the city of Kenosha, and the taxpayers. The county receives the proceeds of the sale immediately in the form of a credit to Kids with no risk of the status of the subdivision, and with higher proceeds than would be received through an auction. The city benefits from the development of affordable single-family homes within city boundaries, not Pleasant Prairie, not Summers, but within the city itself. The taxpayers benefit from the increase in net new construction, which spreads the tax levy over a greater number of taxpayers. And the real estate market benefits from the influx of affordable homes in a market that has been historically low. There was a Kenosha News article on November 19th to this effect, that the inventory of houses is low, which is driving house prices up. So that is, in a nutshell, what all of those pieces of paper that you have lay out.
So, we'll tell the committee, on this $1,238,000, how is that paid? Because first you said you get a $1.2 million, then you said by note, so there's no cash
no.
here.
No.
How is that paid back and when?
It's not paid back to the county. It is in future reduction of costs. So option one was the city issuing us a note. They were not in favor of doing that. That is not the option that is before you. What is being presented is that the $1.2 million would be credited to the amount that Kids owes to Bear in the lease costs, which lowers their annual costs, which means our portion of those annual costs are lower as well.
So why don't we get the $1.2 million up front against the $9 million that we're spending? Why aren't we getting $7.8 million?
Did you get this yet?
You say.
This is a lot to throw at us in a meeting that we had no idea that was on the agenda. And I, quite frankly, haven't absorbed the whole thing yet because I just saw this tonight because I didn't realize this was there.
Well, that's why
how
we're
are we going to take
discussion.
This to the county board tonight? And it's on the agenda, I see, for the county board.
Yeah, it doesn't
have
to
no idea
continue on the agenda, though.
We need more. We need a better explanation as far as I'm concerned.
Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, to me, when I saw this, I made some phone calls and I figured out what was going on. This is a win-win for everybody involved. First of all, we can't through the statutes and the law, we can't just transfer it to somebody. We have to do it a certain way, correct? How does that have to go?
We either have to auction it off, or we have the ability to transfer directly to municipalities.
To municipalities. Okay. So we're restricted on what we can do with it anyway. That's number one. Number two, you got this big hole sitting out there, okay? It fell apart in 2010, right? What are we going to do with it? Why not put it back on the tax, you know, on the tax records, get the thing going? We have parties that are interested in building on it and moving forward with it. I don't see any problem with that at all. And the third, the kids, you know, I mean, I understand what they're talking about with the money, but if it, every year, if our costs are reduced, that's where we're going to get the benefit. So we're not getting any benefit now anyway.
I guess what I'm missing is, how do kids get involved?
Okay.
Because there is a relationship with kids, kids that has a lease agreement with Bear to lease a section of the Sun Plaza building that's being remodeled for the town.
So it's between kids and Bear?
Correct.
Okay.
And because we pay kids based on their expenses, if their expenses are lower, that saves us money. And it saves us money over time.
Okay.
It isn't a direct reduction to the amount for the 2020 budget, but it is a credit to the note that kids owes Bear. So they're not getting $1.2 million either that they could then decrease their costs. That is spread over time.
Do we know how much time? The 1.2, how long are we
The
talking?
Amortization period is, it's a 20-year amortization with a 10-year balloon. So the 20-year amortization saves the county $1 million. The remaining 10 years, if it were to continue at the same terms that is being offered for the first 10, would save us another $1 million, depending on what is done at the balloon payment time. If that's refinanced at a lower interest rate, the savings would be less, but there would still be potential savings there.
Okay.
I just couldn't equate what it would be because I don't know what that rate would be.
So we, since I really had the floor.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
But you didn't give it up, but I thought you were done.
I just shared it with you a little
okay.
bit. But now I'm taking it back.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So
good again, though.
So, I mean, if you look at it logically and you walk through the steps, there's nothing we can do with the property other than give it to municipality. We're not going to do anything with it. So why not get something out of it? I mean, we always sit around and talk about how can we, you know, help our revenue? How can we help the taxpayers? Well, here's an opportunity. Here is an opportunity. So I will be supporting this. I'll listen to any other discussion and we'll go from there. Thank you.
John.
So, through the chair, through the finance director, the kids contract, is that a cost plus contract where, you know, they put their costs and then we pay that, or explain to me?
We have approximately 19 contracts with kids. Some of them are based on time. So the services are provided and there's an hourly rate. Others are a cost reimbursement. So part of their costs are their costs, their building costs, whether it be mortgage or a lease, their utilities, all of that is built in. We provide the services that kids provides to us is about 80% of their business. So there, we are charged a significant portion of whatever those costs are. So we do have a vested interest in keeping those costs down.
Thanks. I'm not personally prepared tonight to say yes or no on this idea. I'm not sure if it's a good one or not, but I'll tell you what my concerns are. Every time we auction off property, there are bidders, and we've done very well on those auctions. Now, there might be somebody out there that's willing to pay over $400,000 for this. Maybe Bear is willing to buy it at an auction, and we get our taxes in any event off the top. We don't sell directly to one individual here to for a project, but we put it up for auction. It seems very fair to me. And we get our taxes, and they can go on and in free enterprise do what they please and make whatever profit. And that's good. I don't know that this property is unsaleable. We haven't tried. I mean, if we had tried to auction this and nobody was interested, that would be a different thing. But if a private individual came forward and said, well, we'd like to buy this house in the community, and I've got cash and we'll pay you X number of dollars for it, we wouldn't sell it to them. We couldn't sell it to them. We'd say we have to do an auction. If they went to the city, I doubt if the city would on a single house do anything like they're trying to do here for Bear. And the city has every right. They can, I mean, they're a separate government. If they want to do that, fine. But I don't know why we're drawn into the mix to forgive taxes. Now, we've forgiven taxes when a community, Silver Lake, Twin Lakes, they want to put in a public park, for example, a museum, all kinds of other generally public projects, which is good. But we don't get involved in this private development where we're enhancing somebody else's profit and we've got some sort of complicated method by which we get paid for our taxes. I mean, that's all we're really getting here is the taxes. Now, on this $1.2 million note, this is kind of a side deal. Kids is moving out of downtown. We're trying to enhance the downtown area. 250 people work for Kids downtown. Those jobs are going away, just like Chase Bank closed, Kenosha News closed, this Mike's Chicken and Donuts closing. How many jobs is that all together? And we're facilitating 250 jobs leaving the downtown. That to me is not good. But again, if they want to do that with their private business, they want to move out, that's up to them. But if they're coming to the county and saying for a public purpose, this is good for the community to move 250,000 jobs out of the downtown, that's not a good public purpose in my opinion. That's going to impact local merchants downtown, restaurants, bars, etc. Far greater than $1 million. And this $1.2 million is not cash. I mean, if this were going to be cut off of the first year, instead of paying $9 million to Kids, we'd pay $7.8 million, you know, I could see it. But these two things seem to be tied in, which I'm not understanding why they should be tied in at all. Seems to me we ought to put this up for auction, get our taxes, and let the parties do what they please. On the other hand, if we're going to be part of the negotiations, then from my perspective, I don't want to see those 250 jobs leave downtown Kenosha. Moving over to a location where I don't think that that's a good location to have mental health people on 52nd Street going into a high crime area. We're going to have to post police officers over there at that particular location. Not a good idea. They want to go there, they spend their money, that's fine. But don't look to the taxpayer, I think, to enhance that with some sort of artificial credit here. Where's the money here? It's not coming off the $9 million right off the bat, off the top. So I say my inclination here is not to support this. I don't see it. It's a complicated deal for us to get paid our taxes. I mean, compare this to the second item on the agenda and how did that get there? That was this veteran who said, like Mr. Santarelli argued for his client, we're opening up this whole field. We said to the veteran, no, you're too late, so sorry. He had actual cash. Here, it's not actual cash at all. How do we compare the two? Or do we just say, if you want to pay your taxes late, you can pay your taxes late. These are way late, and they're not even being paid. Why doesn't the city pay us?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, we're not getting anything anyway. We're not going to get anything anyway. They're sitting there empty. Nobody's doing anything with it anyway. Okay? It sat there for 10 years, and nobody's brought forward any proposals to do anything. Another thing is that the city already has an arrangement with Bear, I'm sure, which will help them put in infrastructure and all the other things that we wouldn't have if we auctioned it off. I mean, there's not a buyer that's going to come in and without an agreement with the city to do that. So, and our taxes will be paid back over time. I understand you wanting to get a lump sum, but as we reduce our costs every year in the budget, and we're benefiting every year in our budget, that is an advantage to our taxpayers. And mental health is a big thing that I look at, and these are some people that help take care of that. The next thing is you can't tell people where to do their business. I mean, if they want to move out anywhere, they can move out. They're their own private business. So to say we're facilitating 250 jobs, I mean, every company in the downtown could leave if they want. We can't stop them. I just don't think we should base a decision on that. So when I look at everything as a whole, it makes sense to me. I mean, I'm not, this isn't complicated to me. Okay, there's three people involved in the little, you know, thing that's going on, but that's the way it has to be because of law. We can't just do something with Bear, we have to do it with a municipality. So I think this is the perfect way to do that. It's a good deal for our taxpayers and for the county, benefits the city, gets development going there, sets kids up in a better spot. They're outgrowing where they're at, they were moving anyway. So, I mean, when you look at all of it together, it just makes sense to me.
Kennedy,
so,
why didn't the treasurer put this up for auction as they have done with all kinds of recent properties?
Because it was a platted development that had no infrastructure.
But they could have.
Can you repeat the question, what you asked, Eric?
Yeah, I said, why didn't the, you know, we were on the treasurer's back here, properly so, for failing to put properties up for auction, and then the treasurer, together with administrators, got going, and all kinds of property was put up for auction. Why wasn't this?
And what was the answer?
I think we got someone.
I don't know what the answer is. Yes.
Just to give you a flavor, we've got some representatives from Bayer here that can speak to the amount of development and work and what has to go into this property before it can be ready for sale for individual lots. I don't know who wants to speak to it.
No, I think what I'd like to know is why this wasn't put up for auction when all kinds of other homeowners and individual property owners had their homes put up for auction and this was ignored. Why was it ignored?
And I think what they're going to be able to address a bit is that they're not ready to be put up and for sale for homes yet. There's a lot of infrastructure and things that have to be
I understand all of that, but the treasurer could have put this up for auction and Bear or anybody else could have bid X number of dollars for it, and they chose not to do it. And all we're interested in is getting our taxes due on this are some round numbers, $273,000. That's what's due. And this property couldn't have been sold for that or more. I question that. I think for some reason, never brought to the committee, this property was ignored. In every meeting, we have reviewed properties and said, well, we'll put this one on the market for X number of dollars. And then when they didn't sell it, came back to us and said, well, we'll reduce it in price. Why not this one?
And Patty.
The city has expressed interest in these parcels since the time we took them. That is the only organization that has expressed interest, and I think there was reservation on the side of the county, of the administration, to bring forward transferring them just to give them to them without some other plan in place or something that would give us some potential benefit.
Ron.
The city, if we put this up for auction, like Terry says, okay, somebody would bid on it. We'd get bids on it. I don't have any doubt of that because somebody can develop this. Now, as far as the infrastructure not being there, we can't sell them singly. We wouldn't sell them singly. We'd sell them as a block. And then whoever bought that at auction would then put the infrastructure in, and the city would eventually have to provide the sewer and water. So, you know, we're talking two different things here. I mean, we're talking like these parcels are not worth anything. They are worth something.
Anyway else, John?
Yeah. My concern is that, you know, kids might lose the contract several years down the road, and we may never get our full benefit. You know, if they would lose the contract, they would be getting the benefit, and we would not.
Right.
So I tend to agree with the chair.
I got to understand this better before I'm willing to go along with it. I got to tell you that right now. If any of the other board members here are on the finance understand it any better than I think I don't, maybe you can explain it to me because I don't get it completely. I would suggest that maybe somebody from kids tell us what's going on.
Yeah. Let the developer talk.
No, this is Bear, and then we have somebody from the city.
Yes.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to, through the chair, I'm happy to provide any commentary if you like them here. And I can appreciate the comments. It is a little convoluted, and it is a little complicated. I think starting off, I really have a huge appreciation for what Patty and for what Jim did in thinking out of the box and how to derive some value out of essentially what is a very illiquid asset. So I'll back up, and I think to answer some of the questions just about how this,
I'd appreciate
how it,
it
progressed and how it started. Mm-hmm. So we originally were working with KHDS about leaving their downtown site. So the city of Kenosha, as part of their redevelopment plan downtown, wanted the KHDS building. And KHDS also had a problem at that time, as the building was antiquated. It needed some significant repairs, and it was too small. So the city agreed to pay probably over fair market price for the building to help kids be able to move to a new facility. So we crafted a relationship, figured it out, how we're going to make it work. Kids and Janine and Patty can speak to it better than I can, but because of the 19 contracts I think I heard that they have with the county, essentially it's a bit of a pass-through, and every contract's a little different. So we, to help facilitate a deal in working with kids, said we would agree to pay a portion of the build-out costs and loan it back to try and make sure that the new space that they go into is nice, it's cost-effective, and it works. And so we had our deal crafted and ready to go. And I think it was a meeting that we all collectively had, and Jim had a very good idea. He said, well, you know, we have this very illiquid asset sitting on our books right now. And to talk specific about these Brookstone lots, he said, well, we have this asset on our books. It is, we give it to the city, but that there's no value back to the county at the end of the day. And we have, you know, I think they're assessed for $400,000, and you know, there's some significant back taxes due. It says that if there's a way to craft something that makes economic sense, where we can get participation from the city of Kenosha as well, would we be able to figure out a way to take this illiquid asset in these 88 lots and make them liquid? My comment to him was, the lot value, if those are finished lots, is probably around $15,000 a piece. Now, the problem with that, and we've, over the years, I think, acquired during the downturn 30 to 40 subdivisions, so maybe 1,000 lots in varying stages of improvements, cost about $45,000 a lot to put the sewer, the water, the roads. So there's some significant infrastructure that's needed. So we're in a situation that we say, yes, we'd happily pay $15,000 a lot, but that's assuming all the roads are in and that we can have an, you know, be able to bring an end product to the marketplace around that $250,000, which is a really great price for a new single family home, but it's, I think, appropriate for that neighborhood and that marketplace. So the city agreed to assist with some of the financing. So we have city's helping out with about $3.5 million in financing. Now we're agreeing to take all of the risk on the development side, put all of the infrastructure in, and spend that money out of our pocket on the hopes that we build this increment to be able to repay that and get it to balance. So, and then at the end of the day, we're paying the $15,000 a lot. So I think there's $1.2 million in change that goes back to the county. And because of this relationship, again, we started with this KHDS lease. So there's this obligation through kids and the relationship that with the county. We have this note on the books. And again, I think it was very intelligent to say, okay, well, we've got this very illiquid asset. If we can pull these other players in and take it where, I mean, today, quite honestly, I could tell you from, you know, our firms bought more land and subdivisions, you know, what's it worth? Well, it's a negative if it's as it sits today. The only reason we're able to pay over a dollar for it, and we're paying, you know, well north of $1 million for it, is because the assistance with the county to press the city to get the city to help with some of these infrastructure costs. So it was very much this win-win, and we were able to, meantime, take the value in because of the issue where, you know, paying for things, because we had this existing note on the books, immediately take this note down, you know, to the tune of by $1.28 million, which I think would bring a lot of benefit back. You know, again, it takes this illiquid asset and makes it liquid. With that, though, too, part of this deal, just for the overall kind of the benefit of everybody, what this development does, the city's also agreeing to put some of, you know, any of their kind of remnant lots in the deal, all priced at this same amount. So we acquired the UAW site, which is 11 acres there. As part of that, we're trying to preserve and rehabilitate the existing UAW, but essentially it's about 6 acres of vacant land that isn't needed, that we've went through, and we have a 80-unit senior building and 31 townhome units that will kind of front 40th there. So we think it's going to work really well and change the face of that neighborhood, because I appreciate, Terry, what you had mentioned about, you know, it's a tougher area. And so what we're trying to do with from Sun Plaza scale into Wilson Heights, all the way up into the UAW, is really change the face of that and put, I think, you know, overall this will put between the Sun Plaza, UAW, Brookstone, be about a $50 million investment. And we think it could really go a long way for all of us to help change the, you know, change the schematics there, and we think for the better. I think the only last, yeah, I talked about, you know, really the reason for leaving was it was a city issue where they wanted to redevelop it. And again, but at the end of the day, kids needed more space. So I think that from a job standpoint, what we're going to be able to do is give an opportunity where there's going to be more jobs, better services, and a much nicer state-of-the-art facility. I tried to cover as many points as...
Just touch on the WIDA.
It helped a little.
Touch on the WIDA credit.
Certainly. So part of that, County was very helpful with our development out in Paddock Lake, Whitetail Ridge. You know, it's a very comparable type of development as to what we're proposing here. We have city support. We're on the Plan Commission, I believe, December 16th. So we're looking at 80 senior units. Senior apartment units would be leased somewhere between 700 and 1,200 a month, high-quality four-story development, and then approximately 31 townhomes. That would be across the front. So the WIDA piece is that's part of our capital stack and the financing structure, and we have our applications have to go into them here by the end of the the end of the year. But it's very similar also down in Pleasant Prairie. We just opened Ava Manor, same idea with some senior product with townhomes. And I can tell you both locations we opened 100% full. So from a demand standpoint, we feel really good about bringing this type of product online on the north side of Kenosha.
And the average price of the home in this subdivision that you're looking to build?
Yeah, so this is, I think it's going to fill a niche that you don't see any new houses that are less than 300 right now. Mm-hmm. And the quality is suspect sometimes, the curb appeal. So because of the way these lots were designed, they're about 6,000 square feet a piece. They're much smaller than your traditional subdivision, but it's all platted. And we think we can put a product on there where we can sell a nice new house between 1,400 and 2,000 square feet at about the 230 to 250 range, and fill a niche. And that, again, there's just nothing like that out there now. And so we're hopeful that it does well.
Discussion. John, did you finish?
If anybody else wants to talk,
yeah,
I'm ready to go again.
The other thing about the kids, they may have outgrown their space that they had there, but the only reason they're moving right now is because the city bought their land and bought the buildings, which was the roller rink and all the other land around it, for their development. So it wasn't that they're leaving downtown on their own. The city kind of pushed them into doing that, more or less, to move to a different location because we want this land, and they bought it all. So it wasn't something where they just said, we're going to pick up and move 250 jobs. And it's when you say you're going to reinvest in Sun Plaza, which needs some reinvesting.
Yes, it does.
Rebuilding.
We purchased the property, and that deal was set with kids prior, so we were very much committed.
So I think it's going to enhance and help 52nd Street, Sun Prairie, all those areas over there, which needs a lot of help. So, and it's the opposite end of where this is.
Ron?
I don't think that we should make a decision tonight based on the jobs leaving downtown, because the jobs aren't leaving downtown. They're just going someplace else in the community.
Correct.
So that shouldn't. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but they're not going to have a building anymore. I'm not saying that I completely understand every little detail here, but I think maybe the concept is pretty good.
And my hat's off to, again, Patty and Jim, and coming up with this. When they mentioned it at a meeting, I thought it was pretty ingenious, and it took so much participation to get the city involved. It's pretty bright.
and right back. Yeah?
Okay. First of all, Bear did a something similar to this in my district, and I had a ton of questions, and I was skeptical about it over by St. Therese. And it's actually turned out to be a very nice project. I don't get any scuff out of that. So very nice, looks great, an improvement to the area. We're always looking for public-private partnerships. We're always looking for that. And here's somebody who's going to take let's face it, a somewhat blighted area and give it a facelift. And we're going to argue against that? I don't understand that at all. Then I don't understand sheriff's trucks either. But still, you know.
Let's not go there.
I guess I don't know. But so public-private partnerships, to me, make a lot of sense. This is the way we had to do it as a county. We had to do it with the municipality. They've already got somebody online who's a quality company that I haven't heard of any of their developments going belly up. And I think they'll put up a good product and help the area. I'm just going to respond to Supervisor Poole. If they go under, you know, every time we do anything, there's a risk that something could happen. Every loan we give with CABA, there's a risk that the company could go under. I mean, all the time we take risks, but they're busting out of where they're at. They have 19 contracts with us that aren't going anywhere. Mental health is not improving. I'm always asking, where can we other find places to help with it? Well, here's one that's doing a job, and we're going to stand in the way of that? Yes. Frankly, I don't understand it. I don't understand the opposition to this. This is a win-win.
Just like a care center.
Supervisor Nordegan, are you done?
No. Yes, I am.
Supervisor Nordegan.
My question, I have a couple of them. Which average cost, you think, is around $250,000?
Per home?
Per home.
Average sale price, we hope to.
Average sale price.
Yes.
Assessed value is going to bring how much per home on about say $200,000, times how many?
108 altogether.
So,
105.
With Chairman Rose's, and I do appreciate his, you know, where's our money on selling this coming in from? I think it's a sit and wait. I mean, we waited 10 years. Now we're having a development that's going to come up, and over time should improve even more on top of that. So I think that's where it is. I mean, we're getting nothing now. Actually, we're getting less than nothing now. Just something I think we need to really consider, that this is a opportunity to bring that tax dollar in just off those home sites. Who knows what else goes on in the future.
Ed?
Yeah, I also, too, am prepared to vote on this tonight. I think it's a win for the city, win for the county, win for kids, and most importantly, a win for the taxpayer. Also, too, I think it's a win for contractors. It's a win for all those people in the trades, all these homes going up. It's a job creator is what Bear is doing here, and he's filling a niche. And I think we know what the Mills family has done through this community and this county and elsewhere. It's all quality work, and I stand behind what this, if you so call it a deal, I think it's a well worked out deal, and I'm prepared to vote on it tonight. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Two things. One, I would like to know that the city is in agreement with this. Is that is that a fact?
Yes.
And they're going to go and agree on all along the way. And secondly, I would like to have some of the other supervisors in the room, if any of them have any comments. Because, you know, when you go up there with a cord and if our chairman is against it, then I'm sitting there having to explain it. I could have a hard time explaining it completely because I don't completely understand it. And if anybody in this room disagrees with what I'm saying, is I don't completely understand. I understand the concept, but you just threw it at me half an hour ago. Okay. So any other supervisor in the room have any comments?
Not at the moment. I'm still trying to process it all. I came in late, so
there you go.
I mean, if the committee wants to put it off till the next meeting of the finance committee next Thursday, that's certainly an option, then to take a vote at the next county board. There's no necessity to
I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second his motion.
Right, there's a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah.
Seeing no further discussion, we'll take a vote. Do you want a voice vote?
Roll call requested.
Go ahead.
Aye.
Ron?
Aye.
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 No.
I'll vote aye.
Youth and governance, did they vote?
I'm sorry. Did I hear you?
I'm sure they voted with me. That's the way we've talked about it, yeah.
Since the chairman changed his vote, I'll change mine.
Oh, good.
All right.
John, did you turn over?
John.
All right, we'll move on to the next item and this will be on the agenda this evening.
Well, that was a.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the discussion about tax deeded properties. This was one of them. What prompted this item was the discussion at the last county board meeting on the proposal to allow a citizen to pay up at the last minute. He was about to be evicted, and that matter was postponed at the committee's request to the Corporation Council. That was done, and so here we are this evening. You can individually, you know, there are a number of options. A, we can do absolutely nothing, and if we do nothing, the natural processes will take place. You'll be evicted, etc. The other option is you can draw up some new legislation here, which is addresses the general proposition. What at what point do you allow a taxpayer to pay delinquent property taxes? Is it all the way up to the eviction, point of eviction? You know, you have to have a starting point. And that's another option, or a third option, I'd say, is to do nothing. And if you do nothing, we'll continue the process as we have for some period of time. So with that, I'll open up the discussion. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, my goal personally is to get the gentleman back his house. Now, I heard all the comments that we had the last meeting. I understand where we went with it. I've talked to the Corp Council, and what I'm going to ask him to do, and he's already said he can do this, is put together another ordinance similar to the first one, but add some things into it, like the house has to be owned free and clear. We don't want to wipe out anybody's mortgages so that they can just take advantage of the system. Okay, because when we own it, all the things are gone. And I don't think that's fair, okay? And we don't have the ability to recreate those mortgages. So it has to be free and clear. It can only be done one time by one person of either an owner or an heir, one time. If it goes into, if we have to do it again, and you know, after 3 years we go again, they don't get the chance to buy it back again. Because we're not gonna play this game of you pay 1 year of taxes and it goes on, okay? So I want that in there. What else did I say, John?
So I guess the point is though, at what point is a taxpayer allowed to pay up?
Up until the hearing.
Well, which hearing? What hearing? I mean, there's the eviction hearing?
Yeah.
Well, can I?
The other ordinance that was in place required that the person who owes the taxes, the delinquent taxpayer, if you will, has to within 30 days, and I think the ordinance can dictate what that 30 days when it starts, but
yeah.
To me, it would start the day the deed is recorded in the county's name.
Well, and that if that were the ordinance, he would not be able to pay back, correct?
You mean in this instance?
Yeah.
Unless that's the other thing we have to look at is are we going to say that, you know, those that are taken at this moment and not yet, evicted or sold at auction, that they have the opportunity just for 30 days from the passing of the ordinance to file their objection and be heard on it? Because that's another remedy, I suppose, you could fashion. The statute is very broad. If you look at that statute that I provided to the committee in terms of, you know, the county can, in its ordinance, fashion it pretty much with a very broad language or broad base in terms of how they do this.
But the way you just described what you thought would be an appropriate ordinance does not allow this particular taxpayer, right, for, what's his name, Simmons, just a minute, Simmons?
Simmers.
Simmers, to pay back, correct?
I think that, I think that because they objected within 30 days of the tax deed being recorded, that, again, the ordinance, if it was changed or adopted, or enacted, I think it could allow that to be heard. Same thing with Pearl. He objected very quickly as well. And again, I think there's broad language and authority in the statute for the ordinance to be shaped in the way the county wants to do that.
Does the taxpayer, does a homeowner get a notification that their property is no longer theirs, that it's the county's pursuant to tax deed?
I believe they do, and also we end up filing an eviction when they don't vacate within the 28-day notice. So they either get, you know, they get the notice that it's taken. They've gotten notices all along, unless they're not receiving their mail, that they're, you know, they're subject.
Well, that was an issue in his case. He wasn't answering the door.
Right. Well,
so when, how fast do you start this eviction action after you get the tax deed?
As soon as the tax deed's taken, usually the clerk will check on the property and see if someone's still in it, post a 28-day notice if they are, or we suspect they are, and then as soon as that 28 days runs, we usually begin the eviction action. They send me notice that I need to file an eviction.
He did object within 30 days of the tax deed?
Yes.
He did. All right, further discussion? Yes.
John, could you explain, could you explain to me a little bit about what's going to happen in January of next year with this REM program and all that? Could you explain that to this committee about that, that's coming forward as we move forward into the new year?
If we go to a system whereby tax deeds are taken in REM, it's going to be done in a different way, and it's going to be done through the courts. There's going to be different notice of court hearings and an opportunity for people to be heard in front of a judge. And ultimately, there's going to be a judgment if the judge agrees that the tax deed should be, is authorized and should be taken. There will be a judgment. People will have the opportunity to come to that court hearing and, you know, plead their case to the judge. I know from the experience of other counties that I've contacted that do an in-rem process, there's a date of redemption, and it's after that date of redemption that you go to court. So they're already past the point when they could have redeemed their tax deed for their property. People come to court even after that and talk to the judge, and you know, in situations like Mr. Simmers or Mr. Prill, they explain why they were delinquent, why they fell behind, and judges oftentimes will, in the other counties at least, have said they allow the redemption to occur. If they pay, of course, you have to pay the entire amount, all the penalties, all the interest, even the costs to the county of having gone through the process.
Why is it? We don't do the in-rem now.
Yet.
Well, we do only when the city wants to have a deed taken and transferred to them in advance, and they tell us that, and the committee approves that we're going to do that. That's when we take it in REM. But otherwise, we take it under the 7512, 7514.
That's faster, I take it.
Not a whole lot. I mean, marginally, I suppose. There's more advertising in terms of cost than that, but really the timeline isn't a whole lot different. But going forward, I believe that we're going to start taking pretty much exclusively in REM. And I think that that, in and of itself, is going to solve some of these issues.
Big time.
I understand you're going to be working on some kind of resolution, right? Is that what you're saying?
If the committee directs me to do that, I'm going to
okay.
do that.
So will that resolution, will it be a framework of, it's not, I didn't pay because I didn't get my mail, I didn't, it'll be saying you'd have a certain time frame to go to come in and get your property back? In other words, it wouldn't be just on a case-by-case circumstances. The guy didn't get the mail, I didn't answer my mail, I didn't answer the door. I haven't seen any language on what you're proposing yet, and that's why I'm asking.
Well, I'm just looking at what the ordinance said in the past.
Okay, so I haven't seen that.
Point,
I haven't seen
and
that.
And then looking for direction. Yeah, I submitted the old ordinance, and that's why the, you know, we need direction on where the committee and the county board wants to go with the ordinance. There's a lot of broad, you know, authority in the statute to frame it however the county wants to do so, if they're going to do that. But, you know, this old ordinance that we had required that the person exercise the option within 30 days following the date on which the county receives the property. That could be changed to when the county records it in their name. That's what I think it should say.
That's what I was asking. Is it going to be just a framework that, you know, get these circumstances where, oh, I didn't answer the door or I didn't get my mail, like, you know, we heard another one here tonight, the same thing. This will be a process that will be fit this. If you take your property, you have 30 days to challenge and get your property back. Is that what you're talking? Something like that?
Something like that, based on the old language and whatever additional parameters you would want to set and the board would want to pass. I mean, you know, they added this language about no judgments, liens, or mortgages. That's one thing that was added. Do we want a look back period? You know, do we want to, or do we just want to say anyone that objected within 30 days of the recording, well, retroactively in the case of these two individuals, you know, how do you want to frame that? That's what the question will be.
I would be interested in something like that because I think a lot of properties have been taken. We had a lot of pressure on the treasurer. You know, this gentleman, I didn't realize that he was just 4 years behind when she took it because he had been 8 years behind in it. So there's a lot of circumstances. But this last rush that we've had in this last year of taking properties has caught some people off guard, I guess. I guess this guy came in a couple of times, three times, if I remember your report, and paid up to the date and then didn't pay it after that, right?
There were three, I think, separate occasions, yes, after which he received last.
I mean, I'm not suggesting people shouldn't pay their taxes, but we got to have a little bit of heart here, too, if we've got circumstances that you know, we don't want to take people's money if we don't have to. And if there's a mortgage on it, usually the mortgage company won't let them take it anyway, will they? No. I mean, I've this the gentleman or the veteran that we're talking about, he didn't have a mortgage.
Right.
And a mortgage company would be notified as soon as you filed a tax deed, and they would pay.
They would have the opportunity.
So this is a case where the guy had his house paid for. We took the house because he didn't answer his door or something. So I would be interested in something where that it would be a frame where you'd have so much time to do it after it's taken, after you know it was taken or something. I mean, a time frame. That's what I'm interested in. That's not in any sense. I don't know.
I think you told me that there was a Bristol had a raise order on this house. Is that correct?
Well, I know Bristol has been interested in raising it. Yes, that is.
Is
that
there
is
a raise
my
order?
Understanding. I don't know for certain if it's gone that far. They have never really been able to, I think, inspect
it
to make a decision to. But I know that I think they felt that if the county took it, they were going to issue a raise order. That's my understanding.
Yes.
Well, they do send a letter out to the individual. It doesn't have to be signed for registered mail.
It does within REM, a certified mail.
In REM it does, but now we don't.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're getting at. And that's what I'm going to have them do.
We could post it, and so we don't do that.
About things in
there. I think that's important, too, is make sure that the individual gets it so they sign for it, so they make sure that they actually get the letter, and then we know that it's been taken by the supposed owner of the property.
Yeah, you can't make them sign.
Well, then if they don't sign, then we know they want to be taken out of their home. Then, plain and simple. I mean, the thing that's very troubling is most of the homes that we're dealing with, most of them. I don't know what the percentage because I haven't broken it down. Are paid for free and clear. It's just paying the taxes. The home is owned. There's not a mortgage struggle. There's not a mortgage, you know, like the mortgage is paid for. You have to pay your taxes. That's just part of life. Thank you.
Okay, further, John?
The eviction's put off until when, the end of January?
January 30th.
Okay, so there's enough time to do an ordinance or resolution, whatever you do. Did anybody take the time to look at the house at all? In the room, anybody?
Were you in it?
I was on the outside.
Well,
why don't you describe?
I took my wife out there to see the house. I wanted a witness with me because, and just get her opinion too. She didn't have a vote on the county board, but if she did, she'd vote to let them have the house, get the $17,000 now. Down the road, if we have another issue with it, we'll just go to the rope then. But in the meantime, put something together that allows them to live there, pay the $17,000, and it's going to cost us, we're never going to sell it if we keep the property. It's going to cost us more than probably $30,000 to remedy the property if we tear it down. at the very least.
I'll note that the old ordinance did require that the person tender to the county, you know, the entire amount, the taxes, interest, special assessments, special charges, penalties.
Right.
That was required.
That's required.
Right.
In the old ordinance.
Mm-hmm, right. Which ended up being 17,000, or 16,700, whatever.
I thought we couldn't do anything until something gets changed.
Till an ordinance.
Right.
Right, right. So whether they can live in it or not live in it, it's to the 30th unless something comes up. But with the cost of tearing it down, or if we have to raise it, I don't think that's relevant. You could sell it. That, the property is worth more than what the taxes are on it. So somebody would buy it for that, I'm sure. But again, until something gets done with this ordinance, I think it's all a moot point. And whether it's in REM and you've got to have a signature, and if you can't get the signature, you're in the same situation. I don't know why someone wouldn't be getting mail or someone not answering their door. But I know this, I owe my real estate taxes. December 31st, I'm paying them just so I can get them in, get them done. I know every single year it has to get done. And I don't think anything excuses anybody, unless it's a mental illness or anything like that. I understand there are some things, but that's where we really need to hold the line on. It has to be done. So unless something comes out of this, I don't see what can be done, because our ordinances do not allow it.
You?
Gary?
Right.
So where we are now is you're going to work on something to bring us back, bring it back to us in January, I guess.
I can draft an ordinance roughly along the lines of this and the other expressed desires.
And then we can go forward with it, and then whether we get through the committee or not and get to the county board, then we'll have it in place to act on other ones too, maybe.
John, just so that we have our understanding, so if you're drafting this and bringing it back to the committee, you want us to do that at what we would have next meeting, what was that date?
December 12th.
Would you have it ready for the 12th of December?
No.
Well, I can try. I can try to have something drafted by the 12th of December and circulate it. That's a quick turnaround, but I can try.
Yeah, we can have it. Why don't we then have the meeting the 12th? We'll take up this ordinance. So just so everyone is clear in the room, this, what we're talking about this evening, will allow this Mr. Simmers to pay up, is that correct?
Right,
and would allow...
It's through the board.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it passes, but yeah, the way it would be drafted, and this gentleman in the back, I don't recall what
Mr.
your name...
Mr. Pearl.
But Pearl?
Yes.
It would apply to him, is that correct?
It could, if again, depending on how we fashion the ordinance. If we fashion it to be within 30 days, notification to the county within 30 days of the recording of the tax deed, I think that retroactively, because they made that objection, they would be grandfathered, if you will. Going forward,
you would put in there that it was retroactive.
I could do that if this.
Yeah, I think you ought to do that. So mm-hmm. that I think it's important that we are clear what we're doing here. I got it.
like people, the tax deed have been taken but not yet convicted. Is that, you know, how are you retroactive?
Right. Does the committee want it 30 days, as I've suggested, 30 days from the date of the tax deed recording that the objection is made or that the request is made? The way this reads, if not only do you have to object, but you have to put the money, basically tender the money to the county, sort of be held
in trust
until.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what the committee's thought is?
Supervisor Wiggins
says yes, but others.
Yeah, I think so.
That's fair.
You gotta have the money.
You gotta have the money.
You gotta have
it's
the money.
Be held in trust. Yeah. If you don't, too bad.
Right.
Jeff.
Okay. As I started in the beginning, what I want in the resolution is I want them to have to pay it in full with all the expenses. Okay. I don't want them. I don't want any game playing of I'm gonna pay 1 year of taxes that buys me 3 more years to pay 1 year of taxes to. You know, that type of thing. They pay in full. They're totally caught up. I would even like to see them have show us that they can continue to make payments like this last guy did. You know, I mean, a financial ability to continue to go. But I want it to be a one-time thing, one time per family. You know, I don't want this to be a repetitive thing. I don't want to hear... Not that I'll be here in 9 years, but at 3 years, every 3 years, they pay 1 year. So that's one thing I would want in there. Paid in full, And they have to own the house free and clear, and then your timing stuff. So that's what I would like to see in this ordinance, so.
Does Simmers own this free and clear?
He does.
And was there another time where a tax deed was ever issued?
It was, he came to the point where it was right for tax deed and it was about to be taken, but he paid before it was taken. It was never taken before.
It was never taken.
Right.
He paid in full or he just paid 1 year?
That I don't think he ever came current. No, I don't think he ever came current.
Is there a way that we could just have this meeting as our first meeting in January? I don't know why we need to rush it before Christmas. There's no court date till the 30th. Gives him more time to do it.
I'm all for that.
You know, that way we don't have to have a meeting for one item and, you know.
Right.
That would be my opinion.
I'll second that opinion.
Okay, then we'll agenda the item for the first meeting in January, which is.
It's the second Tuesday of the month, right?
Seven.
Yes, Gabe.
Thursday of the month.
I have a question. If the resolution that you guys talking about preparing the resolution, it has to do by changing the ordinance, which committee does have oversight and to change the ordinance? Would that be the finance committee or would that be the legislative committee?
Well, I think it's finance. I think it's clearly finance because we deal with the issue of tax deed of property.
The money.
But the part of the money, but the process of how it's done, I believe it should go to the legislative and not the finance.
Well, I'm not going to fight that one, but I mean, certainly.
Well, I'm not looking for a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, it's fine if you want to put it on. Fine if you want to put it on the agenda, but I think clearly it's under the jurisdiction of the.
I think legislative committee is basically suggesting legislation supporting legislation. I think that's legislation. I don't think legislative committee's got anything to do with finance.
I got a question.
I don't think the legislative committee has anything to do with finance. Your legislative committee, you meet on resolutions to go to the legislature most of the time.
Exactly.
Suggesting.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Not out. Stuff out of college.
And then finance would have the oversight how to collect the money, pretty much, or when to collect the money.
Still one of those.
But this year we're changing that it's.
I can certainly check on that and see if legislative committee ought to look at it as an ordinance change.
So the meeting Patty just brought to my attention will be January 16th, and the board would consider this on January 21st.
There you go.
Okay.
Right. Okay, further discussion?
Yeah.
Yes.
If we do go into REM in January, will that supersede all this stuff we're putting forth now or not?
No, it's not going to remedy the problems on these two cases.
On these two, but moving forward, can we?
Well, then, yes.
Solidify things.
Then we'll be doing it a different way with more safeguards, if you will, at the court, where, you know.
Because I like the idea of letting it go to the courts and let the judge decide myself. That's my personal thing on that.
I mean, this
period.
Certainly be repealed after that if you chose, but I'm just saying if we're going to go ahead and give back the properties in these instances, it ought to be done legally, and right now there's no legal way of doing it, and we didn't take these in REM, and here we are.
So that being said, though, how do we go about the process of making sure that in January we go to REM? How does that come about? Do we have to make that motion here or there? Or how does it work?
I think it's just a county policy decision, and my understanding and what I've heard in dealing with the treasurer's office and the
clerk's office.
Clerks.
Yeah.
I think that there is a desire to move in that direction, and I'm led to believe that we'll be moving in that direction.
Very good. I think you got a good point there, and I think you're on the right track of what you just said there between those two. Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have.
Yes, Zach.
Just to clarify, being that I was in Human Services, if the ordinance does change, it will or will not apply to the two cases we have here.
It would apply.
It will apply.
Yes, it would apply to Simmers and to the gentleman in the back.
And I think we can be assured that this is not going to be a common thing, because if you have a mortgage on the house, the finance committee gets notified of the mortgage automatically. So it's not. I don't think it's going to be a flood. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just don't.
No. So are you suggesting that this is only for people who have?
No
mortgage.
I'm not suggesting anything because I don't think that's going to be a problem. if you have a mortgage, the finance company gets notified it's being tax deeded, they're not gonna let it go.
I'm suggesting that. I want it free and clear.
Okay.
John?
Do we need a motion to table this till January, or what do we need?
I think we already discussed that.
This was up for discussion.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think we need to table it. We'll just put it on the agenda with the idea you're going to have an ordinance here for our discussion and vote or amendment or whatever.
I think you got one more back there.
Yes.
To clarify, Supervisor Dennis, is the ordinance, kind of depending on how it's drafted, that it's a guidance to you now that this is one per property owner per property then? So that they can then become delinquent again? And then maybe even if it is, say, pay in full, but then that's what they're doing all 3 years.
One time.
3 years after 3 years, if they don't pay for 3 years, and then they pay in all, and they pay another 3 years. So I think that's, at that point, they don't, they're being in the system, they don't deserve the property.
I agree. And that's why I said you can do this once. And if it comes up again, we don't let it happen again.
And I just wanna throw this out there. I don't think this is needed. I mean, you have 3 years to pay your taxes under what it is now before the county comes and takes it from you. And now we're giving them another shot.
Well, be on the agenda the next time. You certainly can speak to that, but, or we can amend the proposal, I mean, as you presented to us. So, anything further that you want to have in this ordinance that,
no, but you can think about it.
John is gonna draft. Are there any questions, Penny? Are there any other large pieces of property that we have tax deeded property on?
Not that I am aware of.
Yeah, can you check that? I think we ought to be made aware of that. We were never made aware that this was a sitting out there for years.
I can tell you we probably own about 500 lots in the city of different places.
I think he's talking about undeveloped lots.
All right, there's a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Who owns the Bonnie Hain property? City? Is that a private owner? Right, who owns that, right? Bonnie Hain, who owns the Bonnie Hain property?
I think it's a city.
People that develop, somebody's gonna ask.
Giving you the folder, I'm giving you the resolution upstairs to the.
Okay.
This is yours.
That's why I asked you the question.
I got the pages.
I have my own.
Bonnie Hain is owned by like a group of attorneys out of Chicago or something. I might be wrong, but I believe.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Just in a nick of time.
Yeah.